We're going to be talking about hope tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be all over. So if you're taking down scriptures, hope you can write fast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." If in this life we have hope in Christ, if that's the extent of it, then we are to be pitied. There's two categories of people in this auditorium tonight, and even in the world. There are those who have hope, and there are those who have no hope. The question that we're going to ask as we conclude this meeting is, where are you at? Are you one of those who have hope, or are you sitting here tonight in this auditorium with no hope? Hope is a trustful expectation. You know, it's not what people would say if they were going out and bought a lottery ticket. They hope they're going to win. Well, let me just tell you, most people know they're not going to win. They have no hope in that. That's not the hope we're talking about. We're not talking about when someone asks you, "Are you sure that you're saved?" And you answer, "I hope so. I think so. I don't know." See, we can have an assurance of the hope that's within us. And that hope produces a certain action among us as Christians. Hope for Christians is based upon a lot of things, mainly what we've been studying. It's concerning Christ and the resurrection. Because of what God has done with Christ and the resurrection, we have hope. We have hope because of the promises that God has made to us. As Paul would tell Titus in chapter 1 and verse 2, about the eternal life that's been promised to us. And God can't lie. So we have a tremendous blessing of hope. But do you? Do you have that same hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, recorded in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13? Those who have hope have certain characteristics, and we've talked about some of those this week. But one of those is found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, where John is trying to assure his readers that you can know that you are saved. "Every man that hath hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." What are the actions that you are taking to show the hope that lives within you? You know, those who have hope, they live differently. They act differently. And one of the areas where they act most different is in difficulty. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 through 28, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils and waters, in perils and robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without that which cometh upon me daily in the care of all the churches." Paul, why would you suffer like that? Why would you put yourself through that? Why would you endure that? Paul said, "It's because of the hope that's within me." Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he would answer that same question. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall be revealed in us." Remember, Paul would also write in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ." Why would Christians put themselves through the tremendous sacrifices, the persecution, and all those things that we've read here? It's because of the hope that we have. See, most people would not endure that. Most people, if you were to try to do some of the things that were done to Christians, they would abandon ship. But Christians have this tremendous belief and hope about this eternal life that's been promised to us, and so we act differently. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We hope for something that we haven't seen. We know it's there. It's not that hope that we, boy, I hope this happens. It is, again, a trustful expectation. Why do Christians who have hope stand out from others? You know, as Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. As he's writing that, he's talking to those who are being persecuted. And those people who are doing things against them, and as he writes in verse 16, having a good conscience, that wherein as they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. See, Christians, you know, you be ready to answer. You be ready to tell all those that come in contact with you, even those who are falsely accusing you of being something evil. You be ready to teach them. You know, could you imagine being handcuffed or chained to Paul, you know, in a prison? We know that those that were chained to him got a continual gospel sermon to them. Many of them obeyed the gospel. Paul made great use of the time that he had when you were next to him. Do we do the same thing? But, you know, there are some things that give us security. This hope that we have in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth into that which is in the veil. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in the heaven for you. Why do Christians act differently in difficult situations? Because we know of this great promise that's been promised to us. And we reckon, like Paul, that the things that we're going to suffer are not going to be in any way compared to the glory that we will one day receive. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. The crown of life that has been promised to each one of us is why we do what we do. It's the hope that carries us through. When others look like they are doing things that are contrary to the will of God, we still maintain that hope that we have. But there are those who have a misplaced hope, or have a hope they have, and they are going to be sadly disappointed in judgment. You see, because, I think Steve mentioned this the other night, it doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what God thinks and what God has revealed to us. I talk to people every day, and I know some of you do too, as you talk to people and they talk about, oh, I know that I'm saved. But it's not according to God's plan, it's according to their plan. So it really doesn't matter what people think. It's always what God thinks. We have to find great joy in knowing that heaven can be our eternal home if we seek the path of righteousness, the way that God has given it to us. Those, according to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Job chapter 8 and verse 13, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web. Job 11 and 20, but the eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope is loss of life. See, if you have your hope misplaced, if it's not truly the hope based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, and it's not committed to His Word, it is a misplaced faith. We have a choice. We have a choice. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by those who are the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you have once, who were afar off, have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. See, we can be separated from God. You know, these people were worshiping all kind of gods. They were religious people. But Paul would tell the church at Ephesus, you were without hope. It does matter what we do. It does matter what we, who we worship and who we follow. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're putting off that. Maybe, you know, I know that what they've said is the truth and I know I need to make a change in my life. You know, there's others who have put it off also. We have an account of that in Acts chapter 24, in verse 24. And after some days, then Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go now thy way. When I have a convenient time, I will call on you." Maybe that's your thought. Maybe it's not just time yet. But can I tell you, the Bible also tells us that today is the day of salvation. We don't need to put this off. If you're sitting here tonight and you know what you should do, why wait? Make the change to make sure that your hope is secure. I want to give you three things real quick that should help give us hope. The first thing is God's Word. God's Word gives us hope. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and look at verse 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the Scriptures, the patience and comfort, we might have hope." What gives us hope? Well, the Scriptures, God's Word gives us hope. To them, it would have been the Old Testament. Okay? They would be able to look at those Scriptures and that would give them great hope. They knew what people had done in the past. They could look at those stories. You think about, have you ever been really frightened? Have you ever really been scared? I mentioned to you, first of the week, my wife was attacked and she spent some time where she was very frightened, very scared. And so we can go back and look at David. You know, David was pretty scared at one time. Saul was out looking for his life. What about Elijah? Have you ever been lonely? Have you ever thought you were the only one? Well, Elijah did also. Elijah went and he said, "God, I'm the only one. Oh, everybody's forsaken you." You know, we've been there. We can go back and look at these. These things help us give hope to us. The promises that the Bible makes to us, no matter what our situation is, no matter what happens to us, God is always bigger than any situation. God's Word helps us have hope. And secondly, the cross gives us hope. Jesus would say, "Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends." You think about what Jesus did for us. If that doesn't give you hope, I do not know what will. You think about what Jesus was willing to do, go and be in that fiery furnace. He's going to be there for us. He's promised us that. That should help us have hope. But not only that, I need to make sure I understand that the hope that I have because of Christ is not because of what I do. It's because of what He did. Because He was raised from the dead. The empty tomb, the resurrection should give us hope. Do you struggle with sin? I want you to think about it. Is there something in your life that you just, you know, you think, you know, I just can't get over this. I mean, it's just the way it's going to be. I'm going to have this the rest of my life. I mean, is it something that you really struggle over? You know, I've talked to people who said, you know, I just really can't commit to this life because I have this one thing that I just can't get over. Can I tell you that if God can take a body who has been in a tomb for 3 days and make it alive, He can kill your sin and raise you up. One of our members, he served in World War II. He has passed on now. I did his funeral. I've been there 10 years. Well, he was there every service faithfully. But they told me that he wasn't a member. And I would preach lessons and my wife would get in the car and she goes, "I do not understand how Brother Ralph didn't come forward." And then one day, 2 years before he died, he obeyed the gospel. He had seen so much and had done so much, he didn't think that God's grace and His blood can cover him. But I can just tell you this. We have a God that loves us bigger than our sin is. And that should give us great hope. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity to turn your life over to Him. to experience the hope that we each have, of knowing that when we lay our head on that pillow at night, if something happens to us, if we're driving home, I'm fixing to drive 2 hours home, I can have confidence in knowing that I might not see you again here, but I'll see you again one day. You can have that same assurance by just faithfully obeying the will of God, being willing to repent of your sins, believe that He is the Son of God, confessing Him, and then be buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism where you come in contact with the blood. You will have hope. And it's a hope that is just a great feeling. You have that opportunity. We're going to sing the song of invitation at this time, and if we can help you in any way, would you please come as together we stand and sing.